Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm your host, Dr. Tremaine Clarity. This podcast is focused on all aspects in education that are happening right here in the Roane Area School District. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm Marcy Pfeiffer-Solderbloom, here with Dr. Tremaine Clarity and our guests.
How are you doing, Marcy?
I'm doing fantastic. My own sons are older now, but I remember when they were learning to read, and it's quite the process to see them go from maybe recognizing a letter or how a letter sounds to putting words together into sounds and sentences, and then eventually reading for enjoyment and reading to learn science and math and other subjects in school. And literacy starts early on in every student's education, and that's why today we're going to talk with you about early literacy. We've got Karen Stocks-Glover, VASD's Director of Teaching, Learning, and Innovation with us, and Kathy Collier, our Language and Literacy Equity Specialist at Country View Elementary School and our Elementary Literacy Coordinator for VASD.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. We're so excited to have you here today. And I couldn't be happier to talk about the most important topic we have in education, that is literacy. And when you think about literacy and the leadership that comes about that, I couldn't think of two better people to have with us today than Karen and Kathy to guide us on our journey to help our audience understand not just the importance of literacy, but how we will implement those strategies here in the Roane Area School District, where every day is a great day to be a wildcat. And so as we get it, we're ready to go today. I just want to start with some, just the personal piece of it. And, you know, part of leadership is leading and service, but also is why we get into our business. And for me, we know that education means freedom, and specifically literacy is that key to freedom. And, you know, if people ask me all the time, so how does, we're a free country, how does literacy, why do you need literacy to be free? But think about all the things that you need to navigate in our society and tell me how you could possibly be free if you don't have the literacy skills to be able to have actual access to actually take information in, to do critical thinking and make decisions for yourself. Otherwise, somebody is making those decisions for you. And that's why we are so keyed in on literacy and literacy strategy. So we know that begins in our early early ages, with our youngest scholars, and goes all the way through their experiences here in the Roane Area School District and out into society as well. So we're going to start with our early literacy strategies. And Kathy, I'm going to turn to you. Can you talk about what is early literacy and what does it mean for us here in the Roane Area School District?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here to talk about this. Early literacy is really the development of the building blocks for future success as readers and writers. It's especially focused on language, exposing kids to stories, the oral language that we have in the stories we tell with our kids, but also the rich stories that they read in books, and helping call their attention to the rich vocabulary that's in their world around them and the stories that they read, and calling their attention to print when we do look at books and texts and signs and boxes in the grocery store. Early literacy includes phonological awareness, which is what we call ear work in the elementary schools, where we think about rhyming, segmenting, yes. How do we break words apart, how do we blend sounds together, how do we isolate like the beginning or the ending sound, how do we add sounds or delete sounds from words or substitute, like man, let's take off the m and add p, what does that make? And then it transfers into the phonics, where we're connecting sounds to letters and really starting to look at written text, that letter recognition, that letter sound building awareness, and of course, comprehension. We read and we write in order to communicate and to comprehend what other people are what their message is.
Absolutely, and that's so important and just critical in the early languages as you think about the development of the whole child. And for the last 2 years here in the Roane Area School District, we've been focusing in on disciplinary literacy, which is our universal instructional focus that was developed by a multitude of our staff as we came together and decided what is, you know, there's 100 things you can do in education on a daily basis, but we said we need to hone in on specific skills and goals that we want every scholar to have. And so when we think about disciplinary literacy, Karens, what does that mean for us here in our district?
Yeah, so it is literacy across all disciplines. When mm-hmm. we think about the four core, we think about English, science, social studies, and mathematics. And each of those four core disciplines has their own literacy. But all the other courses that our students take as well, whether it's in the arts or it's in our tech areas or in foreign language or world languages, there are other literacies there as well. So those literacies, those disciplinary literacies, are specific to the ways in which individuals think and speak and write and process information in those disciplines. So that clear focus on grade level standards to ensure that our students thrive mm-hmm. in a diverse global society. Absolutely. Every one of our academic areas has its own standards. And in those grade level standards are those disciplinary literacy standards as well. And also at the heart of disciplinary literacy is the conversation and the understanding that we create about what do we mean by text. Mm. So when we ask students to read text, we're not just talking about the printed word, we're talking about other examples that could be visual imagery or a musical score, a video, a graph depicting data, a cartoon, an audio recording. All of those are text that have a specific disciplinary literacy attached to them. So just real quickly, as an example, when we ask students to think like a mathematician, they're often explaining and estimating and analyzing and justifying. And sometimes they're using symbols and abstraction in the way that they are expressing their understanding. They often include examples and draw conclusions. And all disciplinary literacies have some specialized vocabulary. So again, an example in music, students learn the meaning of harmony and rhythm. And so much of the disciplinary literacies in music are embedded in mastering techniques. So that's what we mean. Across all disciplines, students are engaged in a variety of texts and a variety of opportunities to express their understanding through specific literacies.
Thank you for making that so clear for our audience. And I'm going to pull out a piece that you said in there and lift it back up again. And you talked about the strategy of grade level standards in front of every student. And when you think about the journey of a learner, absent of grade level materials and grade level instruction in front of every single student, you can't possibly be grade level proficient. And proficiency is what ours and above is what our families expect. They want our students to be at grade level of above at each level of our organization. And when you ask how is my child doing, which all of us as parents are going to do, that is the information that you want to be able to give. And I also want to celebrate our community at this time, because to be able to put grade level standards and grade level instruction in front of every single student, we have to have a culture of collaboration where our teachers and all of our staff can come together, understand what a standard, the standards, understand how to deliver, and understand that we make sure that we look at the resources, that what we're putting in front of our students is at grade level of or above. So really a shout out to our community, because every single Monday, on those late starters Mondays, you give us the gift of time to collaborate together, to become stronger educators, to become stronger practitioners, and to make our classroom stronger with those grade level standards in front of them. So when we look at that, this is really a celebration of our community and the resources that they give us, and a celebration of our staff that get together every single Monday to make sure that they are putting grade level work in front of all of our students. So we're very grateful for that.
Can I give a couple examples of some elementary? I'm just really excited about some of the work that we're doing around disciplinary literacy at the elementary school. Right now, some of our first graders are researching animals, and they're getting prepared through their own reading and their own writing to communicate what they've learned to our kindergartners. So talk about like a purpose, that I'm getting ready as a first grader to communicate and teach a kindergartner. That's my audience, and that's a big part of disciplinary literacy. And our second graders are engaged in doing some scientific experiments and then writing up lab reports that they can share with other second grade classes to describe the process they went through as scientists. So just wanted to lift those up as
absolutely.
Wow, the PLC coming to life in our schools.
And throw it out there for the audience one more time. You said our second graders doing lab reports,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's exactly the way it's supposed to happen here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to move into this area, and our audience may have heard it in different news settings and some of the materials that we've sent out here from the Roanoke School District, but recently there's been more of a legislative type push around literacy, and it came in the form of Act 20. And I'm going to brag about the Roanoke School District, which I do every single day, because we here are not doing literacy in response to Act 20, we were grounded in literacy from the day this leadership team came over, because we understood the sole purpose, which is that is our chance for every student to be free in our organization. Act 20 did set some additional parameters around timeframes, and Act 20 did set some parameters around how you can instruct. And, you know, probably because of the leadership that our staff has pushed out there and understanding how to deliver, we were already on that journey on a science-based reading, that really research-based literacy practices. So this is not a shift for the Rowan Area School District. It's an implementation of strategies that were already in play that will also follow legislative law. So, Kathy, I'm going to come to you and then jump in on this anytime, Karen. As we think about Act 20, what do you want our audience to know, and specifically help us understand what science of reading really means?
Sure. I'm going to begin by talking about science of reading, mm-hmm. and really, like you said, what is that specifically? It's a vast interdisciplinary body of research about reading and writing that has taken place over the last 5 decades and continues to grow as we learn more about the way that we learn to read and write. There have been thousands of studies across the world in many languages. It's important to understand that the science of reading is not a program. It's not a philosophy. What it is what we know about best practice that continues to grow as we learn more. And because it's about understanding and applying the most current research on how the brain learns to read, it can help inform our instructional practices, which has already been part of the work that we've been engaging in.
Excellent.
Yeah, and we have a common adage in education, which is learning to read versus reading to learn. Mm-hmm. And those early years are all about learning to read. And what Act 20 has done is it has articulated legislation that says to school districts across our state, we need to pay attention to our earliest learners and ensure that by third grade, we have given them access to the knowledge and skills that they need to be strong readers moving forward. And as you said, Dr. Clarity, we've been on that path in Verona.
Absolutely.
And that shows up in the way that we purchase resources, implement resources in service of our learners, the ways in which our educators are gathering in PLCs to look at the data on their earliest readers and to make decisions about what those readers might need in terms of any additional support or scaffolding. So we, as you said, we've been on that path, and in particular, I want to call out again our robust data culture, that in the Verona Area School District, our educators have access to timely data on student progress, and they're planning lessons to support our students, all of our students, and including our earliest readers.
Absolutely. Thank you for that very, very clear messaging of what this really means for us. You nailed it. You nailed it, Karen. Thank you for that. So we know we've talked about the science of reading as a kind of a delivery practice, our instructional methodology, but we also want to make sure we have the resources in front of our students and the resources with our staff that allow for the full educational process to come to life. And so we are on a journey of a curriculum renewal, specifically around K-8 language arts. And so I want to open up as a that is a long and intentionally long process, because you want to ensure that it's well researched, and you want voices of our staff that will be implementing this work to come to life. They have to know, understand, and have full not just buy-in, but they're the experts. The magic happens in our classrooms with our educators, and so they need to be allowed to pick the resources that are supporting their work. So can you talk to us about the curriculum renewal process, a timeline, and what this means for our district?
Yeah, and to build on what you said, Dr. Clarity, in education, we also understand that teaching and writing curriculum are two very different things.
Correct.
And what we don't want to do is we don't want to burden our educators, our teachers, with the responsibility of trying to write curriculum in service of our learners. So our process involves 36 educators representing kindergarten through eighth grade, Among those educators on the team are 23 classroom teachers. We have resource teachers, representatives from our bilingual programming, coaches, and principals as well. We also have representation across all of our school sites on the team, which is really important to us in Verona.
Including case managers for students with IEPs.
That's correct as well. Yes, thank you, sir. So we also began with getting teacher feedback. We sent out surveys to teachers and asked them, can you please give us feedback about what's currently working for you in our available resources, what isn't working for you, and what would you like to have? And we use those surveys and that information on that team to start building out our model for making decisions about those resources. And as you would expect, we begin with our mission. The first piece of learning that we do together is making sure that we're grounded in our mission and that we understand that the work that we're doing on that team is in service of our mission. We also make sure, as we've said before on our podcast today, that we stay aligned to the Wisconsin Standards for English Language Arts. And the team does a really nice deep dive into the standards, not only to understand the standards at their own grade level, but to understand that vertical alignment piece. What does literacy look like for a kindergartner all the way to graduation? And then finally, we look at all the other information available to us, both in terms of what's happening in monolingual and TWE classrooms. So again, from that, we create a really clear criteria to analyze all of the resources and go through a very detailed, lengthy process of looking at resources, making analysis using that criteria, and eventually coming to a recommendation as to what we think are the strongest resources for our learners.
All right. Thank you so much. And I'm so glad you centered the experience of our staff, but also, more importantly, you centered what our students will receive as a result of it. We are a student-based organization, and we have to do this in service of our students. Kathy, is there anything you'd like to add on the curriculum renewal process as we think about, you know, especially that vertical alignment through our organization?
I think that's been one of the biggest excitements of the renewal team is watching this group of 36 educators from kinder through eighth grade learning together about that alignment across grades, and also how throughout it all we've been focused on our students. We continually come back to how are we centering our students in our work and in our beliefs and in our criteria for adoption.
Excellent. And you know, we pride ourselves on being partners with our families and our parents. And when it comes to literacy, that partnership truly resonates and comes to life, because the stronger that students receive support at home and also the same supports at school, the better and more literate our students are going to be. So what will we tell our families as far as the understanding of the development of their child when it comes to literacy, and what strategies can they implement at home that we can also reinforce here at school and vice versa?
I think first and foremost, have fun with it.
Absolutely.
And understand that families and caregivers, our loved ones, are such an important role in promoting early literacy. And I think of it in two different compartments, print and talk. I'm going to start with talk because that is huge. When we're working with our early literacy learners, our young children, but also all of our children, ask them questions and encourage them to ask questions. Really explore your environment and be curious. Let's really lean into our curiosity with our kiddos and expand on their talk. Ask them questions to say more and to tell you more about what they're, you know, if they tell you a four-word sentence, tell me more about that. Really don't forget about the importance of storytelling.
Absolutely.
You know, we talk about looking at books, but the oral storytelling is such a huge part of what engages kids in loving words. Reading aloud to kids, singing songs, talk to them when they're playing or when you're out in the neighborhood, and talk about the books that you're reading. Ask them questions. What's their opinion? What are some connections to their lives or their friends' lives? But then within print, to recognize out and about in your community, literacy is everywhere. It shows up on our grocery store shelves, it's on signs, it's in the car. Point out where we use literacy in our everyday life. Provide access to books and other literacy materials. Karen talked about the arts and the different ways that we think about texts. As our children are drawing, ask them questions about their drawing and really pull out the vocabulary that they are using to depict in their pictures. And set aside time each day for reading. Let your child choose books that they are interested in and discuss the stories together. And one of the things that I wish I had done better in my own sons growing up is not letting go the nightly reading a story together.
Absolutely.
I don't think anyone's ever too old to experience the joy of curling up together in community around a good story. And finally, create a cozy spot where your child can curl up with a book or some other type of text and just really enjoy reading.
That's amazing. You gave me a flashback to some of the most emotionally strong connections in my life, and that's, you know, story time with mom. For me, that family member was mom was the reader, and the emotional connection as well as just the learning. You didn't even realize you're learning at the time. That's the farthest thing, but you knew that connection was there, and you knew that the stories you were reading were dreams that were coming to reality. And if you don't have that experience that allows you to venture off into a world that you might not know yet, you know, we're really denying that true access to our society and those things that haven't been created. I can only imagine what the creator of Star Wars is. Mine was that when they were 3 years old, you know, a galaxy far, far away that we're not too far away from right now, in a multi-billion-dollar organization. So, Karen, any thoughts about that family guidance and those things, those strategies that we want to take home?
Yeah, I think I would just drive people back to the conversation that we started around disciplinary literacy and understanding that your adolescents in particular are engaged in understanding literacies across a variety of disciplines, and encourage the adults who support them, the caregivers who support them, to lean into sort of your own learning about new ideas through disciplines or literacies that you may not be familiar with, may not be a part of your daily work. So an example is I'm a high school English teacher. That's who I am day in and day out for the rest of my life. And one of the things that I did was I challenged myself to read more science texts. So occasionally I'd pick up Scientific American as a magazine and say, let me just try to read this article and make sure that I can make meaning of it. And sometimes I couldn't, but the productive struggle and leaning into challenging myself to understand a variety of texts and a variety of disciplines was really important part of my learning.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Especially as you brought up science as a former science teacher. So I can sit here and talk about this all day long, but believe it or not, we're a little bit offside of our drive time, and maybe they had a little bit longer at a stoplight and able to listen a little bit longer to this one, but we can talk about literacy, and I want to definitely think about inviting you two back to continue this journey as we continue to ensure that every student has a high level of literacy here in the Verona Area School District. So we're going to close this out as Marcy brings us home.
All right, great. Karen and Kathy, thanks. We covered a lot of information today, and hopefully it helps our listeners get a peek of the magic that happens in the classroom. And, you know, I mentioned my own sons at the beginning of the podcast, and I'm sure glad they had people like you and their teachers to guide them on their journeys of early literacy. Thank you for everything you do to support educators in their roles as they engage, inspire, and educate all of our students here in the Verona Area School District. I'm Marcy Pfeiffer-Soderblom. Thank you for listening to In the Loop with the Soup.